Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philemon. Philemon. As most of you know, Philemon is only one chapter, 25 verses. And so we'll start at the very first verse and we'll read the whole book. Hear now the word of God from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apipha, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ in order to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, and now as also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That is the word of God. Here we have a letter from Paul and Timothy to Philemon, Philemon seems to be a pastor or an elder. You even see that it's the church meets in his house, and it seems like he's kind of the elder there through the description. Paul gives this standard greeting and thanksgiving section he does in most of his letters, praising God and giving thanks for the ministry of Philemon and the joy and comfort that Paul has received in his own ears how God is working through Philemon to the hearts of various people that he's ministering to. And then you see verse 8. See the word therefore. So therefore, Philemon, seeing so much good that has been reported about you to me, I make this request of you. I'm not commanding you, though I could because I'm an apostle, he says. I'm not commanding you. I don't want to force you in some sense. But he appeals to him as his brother. Something maybe the elders, we need to be reminded of a little bit. That we should be careful how we exercise our authority. Exercising at the proper time and not necessarily at all times with full command. This is what you have to do. With the Word of God, obviously, that's what we should do, but as it As it has to do with other things, we should be careful. That's as Paul does here. Paul desires to appeal to Philemon, waiving the use of his authority. In verse 10, he basically saying, in the very first verse, first word of verse 8, therefore, and then you go down to verse 10, I appeal to you. Because I've seen all these things that God is working through you and the good that He's doing through you, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. This man belongs to Philemon. He seems to be, he was a slave or a servant. He has run away, though, it seems like. And Paul says, I have, as he ran away, I ministered to him. You see, Philemon, he was useless to you beforehand. He was useless to you because, just like all are useless, having not been justified, if you've not been justified and not been saved from your sins, you're useless in the eternal perspective. And even in some ways, physical perspectives. He says, he has been saved now. He has been justified, and so he is useful not only to you, but also to me. He's useful to everyone. Verse 12, Paul is sending him back to Philemon, and he goes voluntarily, though he means much to Paul. Paul's sending him, though he means very much to Paul. And yet Onesimus still belongs to Philemon. He's run away. Onesimus desires, it seems, through the way Paul's speaking, to seek forgiveness from Philemon, his master. And Paul urges Philemon, not only based upon Philemon's own past goodness, verses 4 through 6, but also based on the benefits of this act of Onesimus' running away has caused. It's brought salvation to him. And if he had not run away, Paul says he might not have been saved. So take that into account, Philemon, he's saying. In verse 15, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back not so much as a slave, but as a brother forever. And Paul then gives one final argument to Philemon, that if Onesimus has wronged Philemon in any way, then Paul says, charge it to my account. I'll pay the penalty. So the final plea in verse 20, let me benefit from you and the Lord, refresh my heart in Christ by sending Onesimus back to me. Now, this epistle can teach us many things, but one thing it does teach us is the importance of reconciliation. Paul knows how important reconciliation is. He's written about it in Romans. He's written about it in Ephesians, which we'll actually look at this evening. But he knows that it's so important, not only to be reconciled to God, but to each other, that he says, I'm willing to take upon, if he's wronged you in any way, I'm willing to take that upon me, that you would be reconciled to him. And so that shows that the reconciliation between brothers and sisters in Christ is very important, that there would be no division in the unity, but as Paul says, that we would be one together in Christ. And so if there is, search your hearts, your minds even. Is there any division between any of us? Is there need for reconciliation anywhere? Then seek it out. If you've been hurt or if you've hurt someone, whatever it is, think of just yourself and seek out that reconciliation. It's for, as Paul implies in his communication, this is for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love of servants, your servants. Not only for you, we praise you for them who love each other, who love our neighbors as ourselves, who follow those commandments as we've seen the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet or bear false witness. All these things of how we ought to love our neighbor. And yet we've not always honored each other. We've not always kept your commandments. We've not always loved you. In fact, we've quite often failed and fallen short of your glory and sinned. And Father, we praise you for the sacrifice of your Son who brings about peace, who brings about reconciliation, not only between man and God, but also between each other and the church. We thank you for giving us the church, the body of Christ, where the head is Jesus Christ and we're all part of its members of the body. And yet we're not separated. We can't say that we have no need for anyone in the body of Christ. For we need each other. We need each other, as it says in Galatians, to bear each other's burdens. We need each other to spur us on to holiness, to point out sin, to rebuke using the Word of God, but also to teach and correct and encourage each other. We need each other for building each other up. It says in Ephesians 4, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is for encouragement and edification. And so let us be that people, Lord, which you call us to be. Cause us to, if there's any trouble between any of us, whether it's in our families and our marriages, with our children, amongst us, between families, or wherever our relationships are, Lord, cause reconciliation to happen. Cause there to be peace. Cause us to be one as we have been made one. So cause us, Lord, we pray that we would be quick to forgive and quick to repent. Not only before you, but also before our brothers and sisters in Christ. For we will be with each other forever and eternity when we are with you. Father, we also ask that you would cause the stability in our marriages, our friendships, our families, that we would humble ourselves before each other, not seeking our own gain, but seeking your glory. Father, we long to see you praised. We long to see you glorified because of your sacrifice, because of Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. We long to see your glory. May that be part of, may that be not just part, but the complete expression of our lives, even as we worship now and as we continue in our worship now, together as the body, communing together with your Son. For we pray it in his name. Amen.